All right. Well, welcome to another edition of The Commute. This is a Saturday edition.
Dun, dun, dun.
That makes it special because it's Saturday. You could do that intro again, Clint. Ready?
What? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, there you go.
It's almost like SportsCenter, but cooler.
Yeah, and then nobody could complain we didn't have any special effects.
There we go.
You don't have any cool introductions. Well, there you go. Ours were homemade introductions, so.
On the fly.
On the fly. Pretty yeah. fly there, Clint. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, there we go.
So, you were wanting to talk about the new BattleTech...
Yeah, well, you sent me that review on the new 30th anniversary BattleTech. He just reviewed the base starter box, which is a $20 box set. So, if you've never played or never delved into BattleTech ever, it's a great option.
And BattleTech is, for those who don't know...
Well, I mean, BattleTech's been around for 30 years. It started back in the early to mid-80s. You had BattleTech and you had CityTech. CityTech was just maps with city, and you had little token buildings to build cities in. So BattleTech itself is just giant mech skirmish. Okay. You run 1, 2, 3, 4 mechs. You fight someone else who's running 1, 2, 3, 4 mechs. Usually you kind of try to balance out the weights of the mechs so you're not... fighting a 100-ton mech with a 25-ton mech, which surprisingly is not as slaughter fest as you would think. Because of the speed of the 25-ton mech, it's quite maneuverable and can actually weigh quite a bit of hurt on that 100-tonner before it takes it down.
So, just to clarify for people that don't know, it's based on tonnage.
Yep.
So, when you talk about a 25-ton mech, 50-ton mech, 100-ton mech, they're in increments as the power, yep. correct, and abilities,
It's categorized as light, medium, heavy, and assault max.
Okay.
Your assault max are your 80 tons to 100 tons. 100 tons is generally cap. You're not going to have a mech heavier than that. It's assumed that by game rules, at least the old game rules, 100 tons, you go over 100 tons, the frame can't actually support the unit.
Oh, okay.
It's just too heavy.
And does it make a difference how you equip the mech then?
Well, see, from what I can tell with the new box, you don't equip the mechs at all. You just pick a mech and play.
So they simplified it slightly?
Yeah. I mean, I miss the mech creation because I liked modifying my mechs. But for someone who's never played, someone who's just getting into it, here's your cards with your mech stats. You're good to go.
Yeah, that's why I watched that guy's review, and it was interesting because I remember when it came out somewhat, I remember people talking about it, but basically that was in school.
Yeah.
So now, that's why I was thinking we could, you know more about it by a long shot, so I've just maybe explained some of those things in case people don't know that are listening, such as Evan. He's a guy at work, good guy, he likes the game. Shout out to Evan!
Yeah, we mentioned him.
We're mentioning him now. But this is something he might be interested in.
Possibly.
Yeah. Maybe if it was giant Mario figures.
It is something that we all could sit down and play for like an hour. It's a very simple to grasp rule system. 2d6, end of story. That's all you use. So from what I can tell with the new starter box, you've got your pre-printed mech cards. They give you a dozen pre-printed mech cards. It already has the damage markers on it because damage is, each weapon has a damage value. When it hits, you determine the location by rolling. When it hits that location, you mark off the little circles or squares, depending on your sheet, and that location takes damage. Once that location's damage is gone, that location is no longer good. You take the right arm off, for an example.
Okay, so
it's gone. So whatever's in the right arm is dead.
So, in other words, that's inoperable. It can't be used.
Now, what he was saying and what I... Old school, you had an internal and an external structure. You had your outer armor and your internal armor. And then you had all your components by location. This core rules that he was reviewing removes that internal and all those critical slots, all that extra components. Basically,
simplifies it.
Yep. Then. So, armor's gone then. You know, you lose all the armor on the right arm, it's done. End of story. So, in BattleTech, the old stuff, when the outer armor on the right arm was gone, you transferred to the internal armor. Once that internal armor was gone, then you rolled a critical. If there was a component in there that you needed, like, say, you know, your gyroscope, which keeps you upright, it takes a hit. That has another penalty that the mech suffers, and the location's out. Two hits to the gyroscope, you are wobbly wobbly and good luck walking. You can still walk, but your movement is reduced drastically. Same with losing a leg. You could blow out heat sinks, for an example. Heat sinks are what help vent heat. Because the new rule system, or the core rule here, does not use heat at all, it's no big deal. He had a very valid point that a lot of people never use the heat. They just kind of ignored it. I, however, in our group, we used it because it would really hinder and hamper things. It's a little more mass you've got to maintain, but it really did have a great game effect. So I'm sad that it's not there. Now, I've not looked at the advanced rules.
I couldn't remember if he said it was not there at all or it just
It's not there at all.
Oh, okay. But see, I'm sure there's advanced rules too.
Yeah.
Because this is looks to me like a very beginner's, very basic.
Yes.
To reintroduce it to a new group of people, see if they would like to try. But like we've talked many times before, it's, a lot of these companies are making games simpler. I don't think people just, they need it to be simpler these days. They don't want to put effort into like learning, or it's too hard, or so it sounds like that's what they're doing with this. Is it was pretty simple, but now they made it.
They a little simpler, yeah.
Yeah, a lot
just
easier.
A little. They didn't change a lot. They did keep the missile rules, which I'm very happy about. And so that's an unique to that system. Battletech's the only one I ever know that treated missiles that way.
Where you fired a group of them?
You have what they call long-range or short-range missiles, or LRMs and SRMs. Then you had your packs, how many missiles were in a pack. Long-range, I think, maxed out at 20. So you would fire your long-range missiles. Your damage would be 1 point per missile. Okay, so one circle off the mech per missile. You then rolled on a chart to see how many of the 20 missiles
hit.
You then broke that into groups of four or five, and you rolled individual locations for those groups of four or five. So let's say all 20 hit, as an example. You break that out into a group of five, so that's what, four groups of five? You roll four separate locations doing 5 points of damage to each location, so you mark off five circles. So you could hit an arm, you could hit a torso, you could hit a leg, you could even hit the head. It's possible.
The barrage could literally take the mech down.
Your shotgun effect with missiles, essentially. Short-range missiles do 2 points of damage per missile, or at least they used to. I'm assuming they still do. But you could only fire, I think, a maximum of 12 of those. So, either way, missiles were pretty deadly.
But they designed it so you couldn't completely wipe a mech out, unless it was already severely damaged at that point.
Missiles were more or less softening the armor. You pelted the mech in several locations doing damage, and then you followed it up with your lasers or your autocannons or your Gauss rifle or your big particle projection cannons, stuff like that. I mean, your particle projection cannon, for example, does 15 points of damage. It's brutal, but it generated 12 points of heat. And this is where heat is important. You couldn't just field two or three particle projection cannons and not cook the mech, because the heat was just massive.
So it was a trade-off. You had a powerful weapon, but at the same time, you could damage your own mech with it.
Yeah, the heat would just be brutal.
So
you would end up spending a lot of points building your mech to encompass or compensate for the heat. So it could vent the heat each turn, because your heat sinks vented 1 point of heat each turn. Well, if your weapon's making 12 points of heat,
well, you couldn't keep reusing.
You couldn't. See, the thing is, your mech generally came with a heating... The mech's engine had its own heat sinks. It would vent, I think it was 10 points of heat automatically. Sometimes 12, depending on what you did. But then you could add more throughout different locations in the mech. And without having a sheet, it's kind of hard to visualize. But you had, an arm had so many spaces, a legs had so many spaces. And you wrote into those spaces, they were on a D6 roll, this is a heat sink, this is the gyroscope, this is the monolecular, the muscle.
So
and
it was a sheet of paper, right?
Yeah.
The original book that you could tear out or cut out and then photocopy, right?
Yep.
Because isn't that how it was done, I think you mentioned?
Yeah.
And so then you would track all that. Now they've got cards.
Yep.
Look kind of glossy. I wonder if you can't use
them. They're dry erase. Yep. They're meant to use dry erase.
Which would be kind of handy, actually. As opposed to, although I guess it depends. You're used to doing it one way, so sometimes the newer way is a little more difficult.
But well,
it sounds like they kept the basics of the game and what made BattleTech BattleTech, right?
The interesting comment he made that surprised me is he was comparing the charts and stuff from BattleTech to the charts and stuff from Kill Team, and he was saying that Kill Team's charts were massively confusing and harder. I'm like, there's almost no charts for Kill Team. It's almost non-existent. There are more charts for BattleTech than there are Kill Team. So that kind of threw me there for a second.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting you brought that into the interview, but I think what he was trying to do is compare it as to if people are going to complain that there's charts, then basically they wouldn't be playing games like Warhammer or, you know, the Kill Team or any of these others that require that also. Kind of what I got out of it. He was like throwing that out there to say, see, look, this is a popular game and it's more confusing. However, I think, you know, like you said, it was just his opinion. I'm not faulting the guy by any means for it, but it doesn't sound like it's an overly complicated game.
No.
And I think
BattleTech is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you know, I looked at some of the models. You could get packs of like five or
four or five, depending on the lands.
Yeah, like $10 or $14. Yep. So really, to add to it, it's a lot cheaper than say Warhammer. Oh, look, I want a tank. That's, you know, $100 or something, and this is going to be considerably cheaper to add to. So
you could buy the $20 starter box, buy a $10. You know, Fire Lance, for example, which is medium mechs, I believe. And you and your friends have plenty of mechs to play for years. You wouldn't even need to buy more unless you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, you always want to upgrade and change and do this and experiment and use heavier mechs or lighter mechs or different story arcs. One of the things I'm liking they're doing is, well, you're still getting the paper map, which is pretty standard. I know you're not a fan of paper maps, but
I only don't like the creasing effect. The paper map, if you've got a table and you put it down, you throw some cloth over it, you can iron those creases out. And if you're playing that on the table and it's left flat, they're okay.
Yep.
But if you've got to keep folding them up and putting them away, those seams tear.
Yep, they do.
And so that's it. Plus you got those ripples unless you can flatten it out. That's my only complaint about a paper map. And I think the other review I did on the video on the YouTube channel was...
Yep.
On the Warhammer 40K starter box, my complaint was they listed it as a play mat.
Yeah.
That implied that it was a mat. You know, not...
Yeah.
It was a highly detailed, very nice-looking HD paper, but that's not a mat to me. A mat implies neoprene or something. So,
yes.
I like those simply because... You don't call all the ripples and stuff. But anyways, go on. Yep. The paper maps are fine with me.
Yeah.
As long as you can flatten them out enough to play on, you know.
And the old BattleTech stuff was cardboard. It was the real thin, double-sided cardboard.
It
was really cool. In fact, I still have a bunch of those old maps.
Kind of like what Games Workshop does with their stuff, except theirs is thick.
Yeah, theirs is a lot thicker,
really thick, yeah.
Now, one thing, I'm losing my train of thought here.
That's because we're getting close to work right now.
Yeah, that's true. One thing I am liking, really impressed with, is if you looked at his paper map, you noticed that it still said light woods, heavy woods. It marked it for you, but they included these little cardboard counters with elevation. So your hills are no longer just printed on the map as this is elevation 1, elevation 2, elevation 3. There's actually these little flat cardboard pieces with hex grid that you can set on top of it to start indicating elevation 1, elevation 2, elevation 3.
Yeah, it looked like you could stack. And how did elevation work with Max? I mean, obviously, is it shooting up and over?
Yep, there's a chart for, you know, shooting up or shooting down. It changed your two hits.
Okay.
So, it changed your line of sight. It changed your two hit. Different games handle elevation differently. Warhammer always just you measure and is anything in the way and how close to the edge. I think for a while the classic BattleTech rules actually looked at it as how close were you to the target would determine line of sight and everything. Good example of that, geohex terrain that I gave you. Those really tall mountain pieces.
Yeah, you could play BattleTech.
That was for BattleTech. That was what that train is for, 3D train. By the way, if you've never checked out GeoHacks, I recommend you get online and look at it.
That guy's remaking it.
He's remaking it, and it's awesome. Yeah. And it can come with the gridded hex for playing Battletech. But the rule was, depending on how close to the edge you were, would determine your line of sight by, realistically, line of sight. If you're on the edge of the mountain, you should be able to shoot up at them. But if they're one or two hexes back, you can't even see them, or you can only see their head, for example. So,
yeah.
It did try to take it in, but I've noticed that the classic Battletech, which came out later, I don't remember who put classic Battletech out, was one of the interim companies that bought the Battletech stuff. I liked their mech creation rules a little better, because you had a lot more versatility, and you had other things like double heat sinks, and so they did 2 points of heat instead of one, and they didn't take up any extra slots. They were, you know, you had in different engines that had more built-in heat sinks. You know, you had... Is there anybody here today? What the heck? Wow. I mean, I know we're a little early, but this is just crazy.
If nobody shows up, it's going to be overloaded for us.
Yeah.
Well, we are here at our place of enjoyment, our employment.
Yeah.
Well, Clint's a little overly enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, you can tell. You can hear it in my voice. Woo! Yay! Yeah.
Well, thank you for trying to encourage me to go in. So,
you're welcome.
This brings into this little podcast, but you can explain what real quick. What's the price point on this package that we've noticed?
Well, the starter BattleTech is $20, which is about what the original BattleTech was. There is an advanced version that is $60, but it comes with so much more: better mechs, more plastic mechs, more terrain pieces, more maps.
So the $60 box is going to be
If you can afford it, the $60 box would be the way to go.
Okay. And one last question on these mechs. Do they have like a paint scheme for them? Or?
Yes and no.
I don't remember them ever, friends when I was younger talking about it. I don't remember them ever painting it, but so I would want to do something to mine.
You can paint your mechs any color you want. There are the houses, there are the clans, they have their own
symbols,
color schemes and symbols, you could paint your mechs in those color schemes. Camouflage does not play into the game. It matters not. You're walking around in a building, so there's no hiding that.
So you can't, yeah.
And you will like this. At some point, under Classic Battletech guys, and I have this downloaded on the phone, they put out a World War II version for the game, because you have in Battletech tanks and aircraft and everything. So I've got downloaded on my phone, actually, the stats to play a lot of the more common World War II tanks and everything using the Battletech rules. It includes the tank and the little indicator with all the little dots for the damage area and everything. So at some point, I figured we would try that.
My mind kind of jumped, and I hate to do this because I know it might prompt you to rant, but speaking of World War II, it makes me think of World War I. Did you ever get anything from Ares on your...
No.
No?
No. Other than a...
Triplanes and bipods?
Yeah, and now I'm looking at, I think, their estimated release date being July, a year after the initial estimated release date.
I was saying it was supposed to be released last July, because didn't you buy on the Kickstarter before that?
I'll have all that coming eventually.
Okay, so I didn't want to start a rant, because we were talking about Biotech, and I know Clint's a little...
I'm done ranting about Ares. I just wish they would hurry up and
get their stuff together. Okay, well, so you guys should check out Battletech. At least there's a couple of reviews out there. There's not a lot, but there's probably going to be more.
And I'm sure we'll do an unboxing once we get, because you like doing unboxing.
So we will. Some of these people have been around a while, so they get stuff sent to them. But
we're not that special yet.
Yeah, we're not that special yet in the
but that's okay.
Gaming.
I'm all right with that.
Entertainment industry, I guess, if you call it that. But anyway, guys, check it out, you guys. It might be something you might enjoy. Anything else, Clint?
Nope, that's all I got for now.
All right. Well, you guys, again, you can sign up. Well, man, my brain is going. So
yes.
The YouTube link and the Facebook group, they're there on the front page here of the Podbean.
What do we have on the website status yet? Do we have anything on?
Yeah, there's 3 videos up at the YouTube.
Well, you have on YouTube the actual Gamers with Coffee website.
No, because me and you haven't sat down yet, but I can.
I'm thinking at this point we need to start moving something with the website so we can put gamerswithcoffee.com on the car.
Yeah, that's an idea, too. We can do that because... So, you guys, that will be coming. We have the domain name, and I can build the website. The only reason it's not up yet is actually our work schedule here is really hard to deal with, and me and Clint really haven't had any time. But the format is pretty basic, I think. So, we want to get a website where we can put some things up there for you guys, you know, and kind of use it all together. There's a lot of ideas. We'll talk about that one later so we're not late getting into work, but... thank you for listening, you guys. Spread the word. Anything else, Clint?
Nope.
Oh, enjoy your coffee for the day.
Yes.
All right. Bye.